Go with me to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. And let's look at verses just 1 and 2 here. John writing here, he says, "And after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." Now, here's what I want to pull out of this, and this is just this. I just heard this as plain as day. I heard, "Come up hither." Amen. You see, I really believe that God is always trying to get us to come up to a higher level. We sometimes like to mumble around down here, you know, in more in the earthly level, but God wants us to move on up and be walking around in the Spirit. He wants us to make sure that we're getting ourselves out of the natural and over into the supernatural. But a lot of times we get so caught up in worldly things, earthly things. It's easy for us to do because this natural body, it gravitates toward that. But I want you to notice something in the scripture there. Notice it said, after he told him to come up hither and he would show him things that was going to happen hereafter. Notice he says, and immediately I was in the Spirit. Anybody see that? Well, you know, apparently he wasn't going to be able to show him in the natural. Come on now, see, you need to get a hold of this. When we're naturally minded, when we're in a natural state of mind, it's hard for God to show us spiritual things. See, he's getting ready to show him some spiritual stuff here. So he says, immediately I was in the Spirit. So we got to understand that if we want to really hear from God, then we're going to have to learn how to get over in the Spirit. Now, when I started thinking about this, I started thinking, well, you know, there's really just two ways that we get over into the Spirit like that. And number one is something like that happened here, you know, when John was called up, he was in the Spirit immediately. So something supernatural happens. There's a move of the Spirit to bring you into that place. But see, there's another way too, because, you know, that's God working, doing a supernatural thing there. But another way that we get in the Spirit is through the Word of God. Amen. It's through the Word of God, right? Remember what Jesus said about His words? What did He say? Jesus says, "My words, they are what? Spirit and life." See, so the words of God, that's Spirit. So when we start getting into the Word of God, then all of a sudden, that's how we keep ourselves spiritual. That's how we get over into the Spirit. You know, if you mumble around in the natural all the time, you're never going to be able to walk over into the Spirit. But if you get into the Word of God and begin to read the Word of God and meditate, why do you think all through the Word God was always talking about getting into His Word, obeying His Word, taking heed to His Word? That's why He told Joshua to meditate in the Word day and night. Then he'd make his way prosperous. Why? Because he's moving himself into the Spirit. Now, Joshua didn't have the Spirit living in him, but the Spirit of God could come upon him. Amen. Amen. So see, God wants you and I coming up to this level. He wants us to get over in the Spirit, but He also wants us getting in the Word. Now, I started thinking about this, and the Word of God has caused me to come up out of doubt and unbelief. Amen. That's one thing the Word of God has caused me to do. I talked about this a little bit Sunday, but the Word of God has caused me to come up out of the place to where I'm not in any doubt anymore about my salvation. Amen. Come on, you all learned that too. You don't have to be in doubt. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to hope that you're going to heaven. You know that you're going to heaven. Why? Because the Word of God tells you so. You see, so the Word of God brings you up out of that doubt and out of unbelief. See, the Word's forever settled in heaven. So if God said it, it's already settled. Now, what we have to do is continue in the Word until we get it on the inside of us so much that it's reality to us. It's not a storybook to us. It's not something that happened in the Bible. It's something that's happening right now in us. That Word is quick and alive, the Bible teaches us. So it's alive on the inside of us. And it's helping us to come out of unbelief. Do you know how many people that are in the body of Christ that don't believe anything you believe? Don't know to believe what you know to believe. But the way you learn to believe it is through the Word of God. You see, most people never pick up their Bible. It's true. I would say that 90% of Christians don't read their Bibles. And the only word they ever hear is whatever the preacher tells them. Come on now. That's how you end up with so many denominations. That's how you end up in false religions. That's how you end up with all that. Because people never get into the Word and prove out the Word for themselves. Amen. I want you to get in your Word. I want you to prove me out. I want you to follow and see if I'm telling you the truth from the Word of God. Amen. You don't need me preaching you something just that's my opinion. You don't need me to preach man's denomination or their opinion. Come on. I mean, I like to read books, but you know what? I can't preach somebody else's books. Now, you Dad Hagin, I learned so much from him through his books. But at the same time, and Brother Rick's the same way, we would go, you go back and check that out. When Dad Hagin would say this, then I'd go to the Scriptures and see if it was lined up. And if it lined up, then he's preaching good. Amen. Right? You see, so you can't just go by what somebody says. Prove it out. I mean, there's a lot of good authors out there. Man, they're Word-based books. But you know what? You have to check it out to make sure, because there's a bunch of them out there that ain't. And what can happen is you can end up confused, I mean, not knowing what to believe, not where you're... But see, just as long as you take the Word of God and balance it with the Word of God, then it's okay. Amen. And I'm not talking about taking it, make it fit the doctrine or make it fit the book. Does the book fit the Word? And if the book fits the Word, then, you know, that's something that you might read and you might grow by it some. It might help you some. But I just started thinking about some of these things and how the Word of God brings us into the Spirit and how it brings us out. And I started thinking about, you know, how the Word has caused me to come out or come up out of a poverty mentality. Amen. Now let me talk to you about this. See, because I don't see myself anymore as a poor wayfaring stranger. I don't see myself there. And now let me just help you here. Coming up out of a poverty mentality is not about having money. I'm going to tell you something. I know people that were millionaires and are millionaires that still have a poverty mentality. They still don't know how in the world they're ever going to make it. Think about that for a minute. You got millions and you just don't know how you're going to make it. See, that's a poverty mentality. God has brought us up out of that through the Word because He's taught us, I don't want you in that kind of mentality. It don't matter whether you got money or not. He does not want you in that mentality. Because if you don't have any money now, you can have as long as you don't get over into the poverty mentality. Long as you learn, know the Word of God, that God wants you to prosper, wants you to be blessed. Amen. See, when we start learning that, we understand it's not just about money, but it's about me understanding my rightful place in the kingdom of God. When I understand my rightful place in the kingdom of God, then I understand that I am a child of God. I am an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That means me and Jesus spiritually are brothers. Right? Come on now, our elder brother Jesus Christ has paved the way for us. Think about that one for a minute. See, that's the mentality that messes with people. It tires them up. Oh, I wouldn't talk like that. That's your problem. You won't talk like that. I understand and know from the Word of God that everything God has belongs to me because I'm an heir. Come on. See, that's how you get out of a poverty mentality. You start understanding what God has for you and that it belongs to you. Come on. Not that I hope one of these days I get it. God's already given it to you. Do you hear what I said? It's already been given to you through and by the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you accepting Him as your Savior and being then born again into the family of God. I said you were born into the family of God. So if I'm born into the family of God, I'm a child of God. Therefore, I am a rightful heir. So I understand I'm not in poverty anymore because, in the natural, you've heard me talk about this before. You know, we didn't starve or anything like that, but we didn't have a lot of money for anything else. My dad worked and, he kept us fed, kept a roof over our head and all that stuff. But we didn't have money, We didn't know we was poor, but we were. We were young, just having a good time living in the country and all that stuff, Kids today had to live like we used to live. I don't know what they'd do. Because, when you got up in the morning, they fed you breakfast, they put you out of the house. Right? You had to go out and invent games. Us boys, it was nothing for us to have some horse weeds out there sword fashioned. I don't know what kept us from putting each other's eyes out and all that stuff, And we just did those kind of things, but we didn't know that we were poor in the natural. But you see, when the Lord Jesus came into my life, I got born again. Now my heavenly Father, my spiritual Father, the family that I got born again into, guess what? They not poor. Come on now. God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He owns all the earth, the gold, the silver, and He's given it to the sons of men. So see, I've learned these things through the Word of God that I don't have to have this poverty mentality anymore. And again, it's not about money. It's just about knowing who I am in Christ and the things that God has already given me. And I'm believing God for them, aren't you? You better be. You need to be speaking them out, telling God, thanking God for them, because God's already given them to you. But it's a matter of getting yourself to that place to where you don't have that mentality and you're not thinking about poor old me and what am I going to do, You're a child of God with all the rights and privileges that comes with that. If you can... Well, listen to this. God spoke this to me. It's word, but He spoke it. He said, here's what He said. He said, if you can believe for it, you can have it. Think about that one for a minute. If you can believe for it, you can have it. Why? Because all things are possible to him that believeth. Think about that for a minute. Hallelujah. If you can believe for it, you can have it. So he's brought me out of that place to where I think differently now. I hear other people talking sometimes and I just kind of feel a little sad for them. Because I realize they don't know what the Word of God says and what they could have through the Word of God. And you hear them out of their mouth putting themselves farther and farther into poverty just by the things they say. Well, I won't never have nothing like that. Right? Come on. They say stuff like that. Well, I could never have that. I could never do that. Well, that's that poverty mentality. The mentality that spiritual says this, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I'm not limited by me. God is able to do it exceeding abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. Come on, what? According to the power, the Spirit that's working on the inside of me. It's not about me just imagining it. It's not make-believe. I'm not just blowing smoke. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. Amen. And that Word is true. And if it's not true, we might as well just turn out the lights and let's go home. But it is true, church. It is true. Now, it takes us a while for it to get in us because we're naturally resistant to it. Because of a lot of what we've heard, a lot of what we've seen, and even some things that we know in the natural. But you see, when you move over into the Spirit and start walking in the spiritual side of this thing, then you're not looking at that natural side of that. You're looking at the spiritual side of that. So when somebody says, well, that won't work, you're saying, oh, yes, it will. Right? When the doctor says, no, it's not going to work. Yes, it will. Come on now. When the bankers say, you'll never be able to... Yeah, I will. Watch me. Come on. See, that's the attitude that you and I have to have. Now, something else that the Word of God has taught me, we're talking about the Word making us to be in the Spirit. Something that the Word else has taught me is that healing belongs to me. Amen. I've been taught that through the Word of God. I don't have to deal with sickness and disease the way others do. And you don't either. Amen. Miss Paula's already, she's got a testimony. She said we prayed the other day for her and she's not had a problem since. See, that's the healing power of God. Now that I didn't do that. She didn't do that. God did that. You see, but she's learned how to believe God for healing like everybody else does. That's in the Spirit. See, a lot of folks don't know how to believe. I deal with sickness and disease different because I realize that that sickness and disease did not come from God. Come on. And I also realize that even though people say, well, that's just something going around, I realize it's the enemy trying to mess with people. Because that's what he does. Kill, steal, and destroy, right? And so when you start looking at it from that standpoint, what you have to do, yeah, there's nothing wrong. Thank God for good doctors. Thank God for them, or some of us would be gone. Right? And probably all of us be gone. You know, thank God for good doctors. But here's the thing. When you take what God has done in a doctor, and how many knows that's pretty miraculous? Right. You know, for them to be have that kind of knowledge. But you take that, and then you mix that with faith, in the Spirit, what you're doing is you're putting yourself in for a twofold healing. Either God's going to do it supernaturally, or God will do it through a doctor. He'll use a doctor. And it don't matter as long as you get healed, does it? What I told somebody the other day, somebody called me and was giving me their prognosis that the doctor had given them and was telling me about it. I said, well, it don't matter either way as long as it's gone. Right? It don't matter as long as it's gone. That's the main thing. They said, that's exactly right. And I said, well, all right, we're in agreement on that. You see, so I don't look at sickness and disease the way I used to look at it. You know, used to, you know, every winter, everybody's, I mean, I was just like you. Every winter, I could count on sinus infections. I could count on this thing or that thing. It would happen every winter. Matter of fact, when I go to the doctor, I'd say, it's about the same time every year. You wonder why it was about the same time every year. That's probably what I was believing for. That's probably, I was probably thinking in my head about getting about time for now for me to get a sinus infection. Have to go to the doctor and get me some medicine. I don't even think about a sinus infection anymore. And if I feel the least little bit of a sniffle, I say, in Jesus' name, you have to go. Because I realized I don't have to accept it. Why? Because the Word says I don't have to accept it. Healing belongs to me through the stripes of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You see, I'm going to give you the Scripture so that you can that'll prove that out. Because a lot of folks, I don't believe that. Well, I mean, whether you believe the Word or not, it's up to you. But 1 Peter 2:24 says this. Listen to this now. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Talking about his crucifixion. That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. So, see right there, let's just stop there. We can, most people can handle that Jesus Christ died on a cross to bear our sins. So that we receive forgiveness of sins. They'll take that, but it goes on and says, by whose stripes you were healed. What? So what that, see what Peter's telling us here, at the same time the Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins, he also bore our sickness and diseases. Through the stripes that he was giving, through his stripes ye were healed. That's past tense. We were healed when he was striped. He was striped for our healing. Amen. See, when you start understanding that, then you understand when sickness and disease comes because, you know, you have folks, well, everybody gets sick. Well, you know, sickness tries to hit everybody. But again, how you deal with that sickness and disease makes all the difference in the world. You know, I mean, there's testimonies for several from several of you of things that you used to have that you don't have no more. Things that used to get you that don't get you no more. Amen. I'd say most of you could stand up and give a testimony. I used to do this, but not anymore. Because even if I feel a symptom, I just say, I remember Brother D talking about back when he used to have TMJ. The Lord had me call him out. And you don't have to be called out to be healed. But that night, God called me out and told me to tell him that he was healed of that. And he was healed of that and hadn't had a symptom for a long time. If I'm wrong, D, you can correct me. But all of a sudden, he got some symptoms of that. And he said his first thought was his cure for that was to take some kind of pills and eat a baked potato. Is that right, D? Something like that. And lay down. And that's the only thing, if you don't know what TMJ does, it's in your jaws and it would cause headaches really bad. And so he said his first thought popped in his head was, better take me a pill and eat me a potato. You know. Then he went, no, I don't have to do that. God healed me of that. He said, I'm not going to receive this in Jesus' name. Gone. You see, that was the enemy trying to come back. Let's see if he's forgotten what God did for him. See, the devil will come back at you. Just because God healed you don't mean he won't quit trying to come back at you. But when you learn from the Word that healing belongs to you and you can keep it, your mouth starts talking different. You begin to speak healing over your body. Every night I lay down in my bed, I speak healing over my body. Over my family, over Pastorette, and over you guys too. I'm always speaking that you all prosper and that you're blessed and that you're healed and all is well in your families. Amen. Amen. You ought to just receive that and say, thank you. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You know, we come into agreement with that. Well, you know, that's because we love you and care for you guys. You are our family. Praise God. And so, the Word of God is there for us, and that's one of the things that has brought me up from, because, you know, I used to be kind of in that way, you know, but thank God I ain't no more. Some of you used to be that way, but thank God you're not no more. Matthew 8:17 says, and I'll just give this to you because I said he bore our sickness and disease at the same time, but it says, Matthew 8:17 says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. If he took them, then you don't have to take them because they're already took. Right? You can't take something that's already been took. Right? Well, I believe I'm taking a cold. No, you're not. It's already been took. Right? Come on now. I believe I'm coming down with something. No, I'm coming out of that. Amen. That's up to you how you speak that and how you talk about that. And so, you know, healing is available to me through the blood of Jesus. That's one of the things I've learned from the Word. That's so I can walk in the Spirit toward my healing, physical healing. You know, a lot of folks will say, you know, Brother Mike, now that's not really physical healing, that's spiritual healing. Let me just help you in case somebody ever says that to you. How do you heal a spirit? Think about it for a minute now. My spirit's been recreated. My spirit's been made new. But my spirit wasn't healed. My body was healed. By his stripes, my body's healed. Physical healing. You don't heal a spirit. So when they say that's spiritual healing, I mean, you know, come on. Sound like Marvin Gaye. A little spiritual healing. You know, that's probably before some of y'all's time. See, that was a song. And man, it was a big song. It was a hit. Spiritual healing. You know, but no. Your spirit don't get healed. Just your natural body gets healed. Now, something else that the Word of God's taught me is that I don't have to live in fear. Hey, man, I just kind of want to shout right there. Glory to God. Don't have to live in fear. Whew. Wow. Do you know how many people still live in fear? I mean, you know, they're singing about it all the time, so that means it must be a big problem for them. Right? You know, we kind of changed the words in that one song. I don't know if you all noticed now, but it don't say my fear. That song says my fear. But Brother Willie now says, oh, fear. Because we wasn't claiming fear. We didn't have fear. Because Jesus has taken care of that problem for us. Amen. So many folks are afraid of everything that, you know, I'm seeing more and more people with masks on. And I'm thinking, you know, just because somebody mentioned it, Now all of a sudden, here they are. But you know, here's the thing. It's just so crazy. You know, if you're wearing that mask to keep from catching COVID or whatever else they think might be coming down, what's going to help you if it's down on your chin? You're in the middle of Walmart walking around and your mask is down here. Good job. If it's a man, your beard probably won't catch COVID. I mean, you look, I mean, just what you watch. You don't have to take this preacher's word for it. You just get to looking around and watch at them. If nothing else, just pull down below their nose. Same difference. The only thing is, you're just not bad breathing somebody. Right? Saving money on certs, I guess. I don't know. But you see, that's because they're in fear. They're afraid of things. And all they got to do is hear something on television or on the radio or wherever they're listening to that talks about something, you know, because, you know, it's flu season again. Yeah, and you can have a free flu shot.
Yes.
Brand new free.
Yeah.
Come on. COVID shots are still free too, I guess. I don't know. They want to get you inoculated for some reason. They're getting quiet. We won't go there. Fear is a tactic of the enemy to try to disable us. The enemy wants to disable you with fear. Amen. Do you know that's what a bully does? A bully just tries to make everybody afraid of them. It's not that they're that bad or that mean. I mean, there's a few bad mean out there. But most of the bullies are just trying to get you over in fear where you're afraid of them. And that way they can say what they want to, do what they want to you, because you're afraid of them. Amen. And the devil's a bully. Right? The Bible tells us at least 70 times, do not be afraid. Now, a lot of other times in different ways, you know. But do not be afraid is about 70 times. Now, apparently it's really important that we not be afraid. Right? John tells us over in I believe it's in 1 John, he tells us, listen, he says, you know, perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear has torment. And it says, he that has fear has not been made perfect in love. Now think about this for a minute. What it's saying is if we've got fear, we've not really allowed ourselves to fall into the comfort zone of loving Jesus Christ and trusting Him to take care of us. Amen. See, you're looking at me funny, but you see, if we're not careful, that's what's happening to us. We're not trusting Him enough, so we allow the fear to come in there. I'm going to give you a little example here, and don't get mad at me if this is you. I'm just saying this, and maybe it'll help you. If you're afraid to get on an airplane and fly, that means that you're probably afraid that the plane's going to crash and you'll die. Right? I've taught on this before, kind of. So basically what that is that you have a fear of death. Why? I mean, nobody wants to die right now, but if I die, I'm going to be in the arms of Jesus. I'm going to be in heaven. Isn't that where we're all wanting to go? Come on now. I trust Jesus. I believe God. Now, if the Spirit quickened me and said, don't get on that plane, I wouldn't get on that plane because I would follow the Spirit. But at the same time, you're probably missing one of the greatest experiences you ever had in your life to get on a plane and fly above the clouds. I mean, it's one of the most beautiful things you ever saw in your life. It is. And you feel 100% safe once you get up there. You know, the landing and takeoff is a little fun. But now if you like amusement parks, a plane is kind of a calm down amusement park. Taking off, right, and landing. The rest of it's kind of boring. You're just sitting there going, that's what you hear. You ever get on new blacktop in a Cadillac, you'll know what it's like to fly in a plane. Smooth and just a little outside. Fear. People missing out on because of fear. People afraid of the water. Right? How many knows water won't kill you? Right? We drink water. It don't kill us. We bathe in water. It don't kill us. We share in water. Don't kill us. Right? We get in swimming pools and we don't drown. So what's the fear of water about? Dying. Drowning and dying. God, get over those fears. People were afraid of COVID because they were afraid they'd die. And don't get me wrong, some people died and I hate it. Because I hate the devil. I hate the devil. And here's the thing, folks, that how the devil works through people to bring about things like that bring death and cause fear. Right? You can say what you want to. I mean, they discovered it came from the lab over there. Now, whether it was an accidental outlet or whether they did it on purpose, we don't know. You know, and I'm not going to get into the debate on it. I know what I believe, but, you know, but it created such fear and such panic. Some folks never even got out of their house for over a year. They were in the homes afraid. And you know what the thing about is? A lot of the folks that were the most afraid ended up catching COVID anyway. People that went and got every shot that they could give them caught COVID. Not once, not twice, but three or four times. And a lot of them developed serious after effects of that. Of course, there's after effects of COVID too. Some things that it did to folks. You know. Again, fear is a tactic to disable you. And they were trying to disable the United States and especially the church. Because the devil was behind it all. Now you think, when you start thinking about it, I mean, they're so afraid that they think the church is not essential. I mean, who are you going to run to when there's a problem? I'm going to run to God. I'm not running to the liquor store. I'm not running to the abortion clinic. Come on. But that was things that they thought was essential. We got to make sure they get their liquor. They'll go crazy. Well, I needed my shot of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so, you know, you've got to understand, they, you know, fool me once, shame on you. But you ain't fooling me twice. We're not getting into fear over that. We trusted you once. We're not getting into fear, or we're not going there no more. Because we'll trust our God, we'll believe our God. You know, when they come and arrest us, they just have to. You know, that's not to say they won't. Because I'm going to tell you, even in this county, and York, Johnson, and other counties, man, they were people ratting out people like crazy. You know, and when we got COVID, they didn't tell us we had to stay in the house. They just told us to stay away from people. But people were reporting, I saw so-and-so out driving down the road and they got COVID. Yep. The health department was being overwhelmed by people ratting other people out. Yeah. You know what that was? Fear. Fear. Has anybody else read in your Bible where it says in the last days, father's going to turn on their children and people are going to turn against one another? Yeah. Just a little sample. Just a little same. You think people won't turn on you? Watch. That's when I got my newspaper article taken from me. It was during COVID. I don't know if I've ever said it publicly to you all or not. But I got a little email saying, you know, this was the time when we were having some of the revivals with the Unity Blessing. And that's when COVID was coming on. And I got me a nice little email that just said that, you know, that they were doing everything there at the paper to make sure they promoted healthiness and wearing masks and all this safety and stuff. And I was promoting large gatherings without even simply wearing a mask. And so they thought they would seek, it was going contrary to what they were trying to do with the paper, and they would seek other writers. And so they did, and that was fine. It was cool. I've been writing for 20 years. I was getting a little tired of writing anyway, if you want to know the truth about it. But that happened in York County. It was part of the council culture that was going on. If you don't do what we say, we will counsel you. Trying to get people over in fear. So, you know, things happen again, you better get ready to stand with me. Don't cower down in your house, you better show up. Now, you wear a mask if you want to. You don't have to wear a mask if you want to. But everything I saw, it didn't make no difference. Because they told us, you know, as long as you're wearing a mask, you're all right. But then when everybody was in a room with a mask on, they'd say, oh, you still get it. Yep. Well, duh. Yeah, we finally got one point there where they wanted us to wear three masks. Yeah. It's a wonder they hadn't said, and put you one of those little pointy hats on, too, and that'll protect the top of your head. Folks would have done it. They'd have done it. You'd have seen them in Walmart like that. Let me move on. I got to hurry. The Word of God has also taught me to live and love life. To live and love life. Church, you only get to go through this life one time. You just get one chance through, and I promise you, it goes fast. At 60, I can tell you, see, I'm 62, how fast it's gone. I was talking to Brother D and Sister Vivian back there, and she says, you ought to be 20 years older. How fast it goes. And if you don't enjoy it along the way, man, you'll miss it. And the devil's got us. I said the devil's got us to where we're working all of our time away. While we're young, you're missing out on life because you're trying to make a living. And I'm going to just tell you something. Once you get older, it don't matter how much money you got. If you can't get out and use it, it's no good to you. So you better enjoy life now. If there's something you want to do now, do it. Do it. Don't have a bucket list for when you're older because you might not make it older. Come on, I worked with a lot of guys that just couldn't wait till they got to retirement age, and they was going to do this and they was going to do that and all that stuff. Had big 401Ks saved up, and they're dead now. They're gone now. They didn't get to enjoy that. I'm going to live life now and love my life and enjoy my life now. Amen. It don't do no good to have money in the bank if you can't get to use it. Money's for buying things. Right? Now you've got to have wisdom. You've got to try to lay up and have you some money to pay your bills with, and you buy your groceries and that kind of thing. But I'm going to tell you, $1 million in the bank don't mean nothing. Amen. So you might as well just enjoy your life. Matter of fact, $1 million in the bank means that you could be a tremendous blessing to other people. Amen. And teach them how to do what you've done so they can get $1 million. But we need to be living life. And y'all are very familiar with John 10:10. Jesus, and he told us who the thief was. But then Jesus says, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus is the author of life. Right? What did 1 John say? In him was the life. And the life was what? The light of men. How many knows the light represents illumination? You walk into a room. I was in a place yesterday, I believe. Yesterday. I'd never been inside there before. It was like a little restaurant, grocery store type thing. And went in, and I was going to go to the restroom before we ate. And I opened the door, and it was nothing but just a big, dark, long room. It said restroom on it. And I was like, don't look like no restroom I ever saw. So I shut the door and kind of come back over there. And I said, well, I thought that was a restroom. Brother Tim said, well, it is. I said, ain't no restroom there. He said, you got to go all the way to the other end of that room in the dark to get to the restroom. Light would have been good. You could have seen something. See, that light represents something powerful. Darkness always, it's always kind of associated with evil, right? I mean, come on. Which is scarier on a movie, when somebody's walking in the daylight or when somebody's walking in the dark? right? They always place the scenes that are scary in the dark. Almost always. Because there's that fear factor in that. Light dispels darkness. So in my life, I need to be letting my light so shine that people can see it and glorify my Father, which is in heaven. The light dispels the darkness. You don't need to let people see your dark side. Because if you're a child of God, you're all light. Because you're a child of light. So the Lord is just, through His Word, has just shown me that. You know, and here's the thing about life. Not everything goes perfect. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation. But He said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So God's wanting us to just have life. Live life. Enjoy life. I like the Amplified, you know, in John 10:10. You know, live it to the full till it overflows. That's what He wants us to do. And then when you get to the end, we can be like Paul, you know. Huh? Finished my course, fought a good fight, right? Now I'm gonna move right on over into that crown of life that's waiting on me. I've enjoyed my life on earth. I've done what I was supposed to do for God here. But I've got to enjoy myself in the meantime. God wants you to enjoy yourself. Jesus enjoyed Himself. Right? He went places. That's why we find Him at that marriage there where He turned water into wine. Jesus was 100% human, 100% man. The human part of Him did things. Matter of fact, Jesus was a pretty good jokester. You all looking at me funny. What do you think He was doing to the Pharisees when He would say, you tell me about the baptism. You know, they asked Him, they said, you know, this little child here, who's greater? And He said, well, no, I've got to get it. Let me get it right. They asked Him, where does your power come from? Who gave you this power? And He said, well, I'll answer you that if you'll answer me this question. The baptism of John. Was it of God or not? Real simple. He knew what it would do to the Pharisees. They get a huddle and they're talking back. Well, if we say it's not of God, then the people's going to say, why weren't you believing? If we say it is of God, they're going to say, well, you should be believing Jesus. And so they go back and they say, well, we can't tell. Jesus said, well, I'm not telling you either. Come on now, you know that's good. Any way you want to put it, Jesus pulled it over the wool over their eyes. You know, he that's got the least sin. You throw the first stone. Jesus knew what was going on there. He enjoyed His life. What short time He was here. God wants us to enjoy our life. And believe God for a lot of years to enjoy it. We want life and we want health and we want to enjoy ourselves. And from the Word of God, we learn that we can have that. So here's what I'm going to say. Come on up hither. Get on up out of graveling down there in the low life, and let's get up and let's live in the high life. Let's live where the Lord Jesus wants us to live. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet with me. Let's pray. Father, I ask You to help us, God, to see ourselves the way that You see us, Father God, and see ourselves positioned the way that You've positioned us, God, so that we can live that high life. Father God, that we are coming up into the Spirit so that You can show us things from Your Word and even through and by the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us. God, I ask You that this church, Father, continue to grow spiritually, continue to grow in numbers with people, Lord. I thank You for sending, Lord, those that are hurting, those that are lost, God, so their lives can be restored. And Lord God, they can come into this place of knowing You the way the Word says You are. And so, Father, tonight we just give You glory and thank You for that. In the name of Jesus, amen. Does anybody need us to pray with you tonight before we leave this place? If you do, come on up.